Before you, and we thank you for this opportunity you've given us, Lord, to do a reference to Patrick's chapter 19. And Lord, this is what you showed me. It might not necessarily be exactly what Patrick was talking about and dealing on, but this is what you showed me, and it has very heavy spiritual ramifications to it. And so I pray you would bless it, bless the teaching, Lord, as we lift this before you in Jesus' name. Amen. So I'm going to take this out of Matthew chapter 13, verses 44 to 50. And I titled this, What Would You Give for Valuable Treasure? I know Patrick was talking about praying for what we have. And this is a direction the Lord led me in, so I wanted to share it. Beginning in verse 44, Jesus said, Again, the kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and hid, and for joy over it, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking beautiful pearls, who, when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a dragnet that was cast into the sea and gathered some of every kind, which when it was full, they drew to shore, and they sat down and gathered the good into vessels, but threw the bad away. So it will be at the end of the age. The angels will come forth, separate the wicked from among the just, and cast them into the furnace of fire, and there will be wailing and gnashing of teeth. So God's work in a person's heart is the main principle of the parables of the treasure and the pearl. It's what God does in an individual's heart. They describe those who've already been made alive in Christ, those who are born again. The seed of the gospel has already been planted, and now it's starting to bear fruit. The point of these parables lie in the nature and the action that resulted of those who find this treasure. Well, the treasure is speaking of the gospel. It's speaking of God's word. In these matters, the man who discovered the treasure and the merchant who found the pearl are the same. They make every effort to possess what they discovered. The man who found the hidden treasure wasn't looking for it. He discovered it by accident. But in the case of the merchant, finding the pearl was a result of a long and consistent searching. You see, that's the contrast we're given in the past experiences of people who find salvation. Some weren't particularly looking for Jesus. In fact, they weren't even interested in anything that might have been religious. They were going about their lives when something unexpected happened. They were confronted with the gospel. They never really heard it before, and they weren't really seeking it. I would have been this kind of a person. That would have been me. Well, with that insight given by God's work of regeneration, regeneration means God changes you from the inside out. He starts with your heart and your spirit. Well, these men saw this as a greater value than anything that had ever come into their lives. There was nothing more valuable than this salvation and newfound faith in the gospel. The key goes back to seeing themselves as sinners in need of a Savior. They saw Jesus as that Savior, and they recognized that if they had Him, they had everything. They had everything. So they turned to Him and they believed in Him. It's an illustration of Isaiah's words in Isaiah 65, verse 1. Isaiah the prophet in the Old Testament. He said, I was sought by those who did not ask for me. I was found by those who did not seek me. I said, here I am, here I am, to a nation that was not called by my name. That was God speaking through Isaiah the prophet. Well, the other type of a person is the one who went looking for God. Even though he found the way to be hard and difficult, but what this person didn't know is during the time they were seeking God, God was also seeking them. You know, I've heard people say to me before, how do I know if God's calling me? How do I know if, you know, I'm going to be one of those that gets saved or I'm never going to get saved? How do I know that? It reminds me of something that Pastor Chuck Smith, he's the founder of the Calvary Chapel movement back in the hippie days in the 60s. And a lot of Calvary Chapels sprung up around the world. Calvary Chapels, if you go to a Calvary Chapel, you know they're going to be teaching the Word, verse by verse through the Bible. That's the way Pastor Chuck taught. And Chuck used this illustration, and I'll never forget it. He said, so you die, you walk up to the pearly gates, and over the threshold to walk in, it says, whosoever will may enter. And you say, I will. I want to. So you go through the threshold into heaven. You turn around and you look over the threshold and it says, you did not choose me, but I chose you. That's God speaking. Sovereignty. It's our responsibility and God's responsibility. So we being free moral agents, we're the ones who make that decision. You know what? I'm going to follow Jesus. I'm going to live for Christ. I'm going to give my life to him. I want my sins forgiven. You see, as Jesus spoke in this parable, the pearl of great price was before this individual. The man laid everything aside, everything, to secure what he now valued the most. Even though the early experiences of these two men were different, once they came unto this treasure, which is the gospel, they acted in the same way. First, they understood the value of what they found. Second, they're determined to have it. Third, they laid aside everything. And fourth, they got the treasure. Well, I could use those as 4 points, and it would come like this. The first point, they understood the value of what they found. Now, it's not surprising the merchant recognized the value of this pearl because he had been looking for pearls. He had learned their value through his researching. It's not surprising the man who discovered the hidden treasure saw its value. He wasn't seeking it. But treasure is valuable whenever it's found. Now, you would think when a person finds treasure and then walks away from it, he's a fool. But how many do that with the gospel of Jesus Christ? How many do that today? The gospel is preached. It's the answer to all our needs for this life and for all eternity. But despite that, people will walk away and continue to be satisfied in their spiritual poverty. Well, for those who have truly been saved, their character has changed. Their character has changed. Psalm 84, verse 10 says, for a day in your courts is better than 1,000. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of the wickedness. God gave me that scripture back in 1981 when I was praying about a ministry to get involved in, and I thought, doorkeeper in the house of my God. I became an usher. I opened up the door for people to come in and when they were leaving. Well, of God's word, we have Psalm 19, verses 10 to 11. More to be desired are they than gold. Yeah, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them your servant is warned, and in keeping them there is great reward. That's talking about God's word. Psalm 119, verse 127 and 128. Therefore I love your commandments more than gold. yes, than fine gold. Therefore, all your precepts concerning all things I consider to be right. I hate every false way. These are men and women, young and old, who have had a change of values. They've recognized the poverty of everything that comes from man in this life. Now they see the greatness of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Matthew 22, verse 14. The second point, they're determined to have it. They're determined to have it. Here's a person who sees the value of his discovery, but he decides on reflection, it will be too much trouble to acquire the treasure for himself. He'd have to adjust his priorities. He'd have to sell what he has and change his lifestyle. That might cause him to be misunderstood by his family and friends. No doubt, the treasure would make him rich, but the changes required is something he simply isn't willing to do. But that's not the case with the ones described in these parables. They are determined to get this treasure for themselves no matter what. No matter what the cost is. No matter what the cost is to them. The third point, they laid everything aside. Notice what it took for them to have these treasures. It required giving up things. But having recognized the value of what they found and determining to have it, they got rid of everything because they had to have this newly found treasure. I love that. It's a picture of renouncing everything and anything that might be a hindrance to attaining the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. I believe that is Philippians chapter 3. The fourth and last point, they got the treasure. They got the treasure. Recognizing the value of their discovery and having sold everything in their desire to have it, the man who discovered the treasure and the merchant who discovered the pearl then made their purchase. They acquired what they desired most. It speaks of individual appropriation. Individual appropriation. Salvation isn't only in seeing the value of Christ's work and wanting it for oneself. Christ must become ours by faith, which is what appropriation means. Faith has three elements. Intellectual element, that's where we recognize the truths of the gospel. Emotional or heart element, that's where we find ourselves being drawn to what we recognize. The third is volitional element. It's where we make a commitment to Christ who represents the gospel. In the gospels, people aren't saved by Jesus in masses. They're saved one by one. They're saved by God's grace. First of all, they recognize their need and they come to Jesus. Secondly, they trust He is who He claims to be. And third, He did what He claimed He would do. He provided salvation through His death on our behalf. So in conclusion, the man in the field didn't allow someone else to buy the treasure. The merchant didn't get a bunch of people together to acquire the pearl of great price. Each one of them made the purchase for himself. They made the deal of their lives, and they were happy and blessed over it. We haven't been called to poverty in Christ, but to spiritual wealth. We're not called to disappointment, but to fulfillment. We're not called to sorrow, but to joy. These men found this great treasure, and they wasted no time to act on it. I love that. I mean, this is where our treasure needs to be. This is what it's all about. Valuable treasure. Valuable treasure. The gospel of Jesus Christ. The salvation of our souls for all eternity. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the things you continue to reveal to us and show us. And Father, I pray for everyone that's listening to this teaching that they would understand there is nothing in this life, there is nothing on earth that can ever mean more to us than this valuable treasure of salvation that you have given to us if we want it through your Son, Jesus Christ. God, go before us. Bless the rest of our day and our week. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.